Some exciting things, some less exciting things. Finally, he reaches the point where he's told by the Rebbe, okay, today you go to the mikveh 26 times and you fast and you this and you that, all kinds of gishmaka things. And tonight it's people see me now? Are we back on the air?
Yeah, you're back.
We're back? Okay, good. That was actually, I'm pretty impressed with myself. It said press Alt A to unmute everybody, and I found both buttons. Soon I can take over all the technical matters of the shul. Okay. So he's told tonight it's going to happen. Make sure you're in the mikveh between, you know, from the time from Shkia until Tzeis HaKechav and the whole Bein HaShmashes. Tonight it's going to happen. So he goes to the mikveh. He brings a towel that he has as a Yerusha from his great uncle who once saw this in this Rebbe, and he uses only that towel. He wants to be in completely perfect shape for Gilui Eliyahu. Okay. And he sits down. He opens up his Zohar. And he puts some nails on the chair for better effect, sits on some thumbtacks, wants to be in as holy a state as possible. And he's open, he has the Zohar open, and he's ready for his revelation of Eliyahu HaNavi. And there's a knock on the door. And he goes to the door, and he's ready to bow low. And who does he see? Some guy is collecting alms. So he says he has to be in complete focus in order to be ready for the actual appearance of Eliyahu HaNavi. So he kind of tells the person impatiently, I can't now, you have to come back another time. All right, person gets the idea, he goes away. Okay, fine, now he sits back down to wait for Eliyahu HaNavi. Back into the Zohar, back on the thumbtacks. Okay. 10 o'clock. 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. Okay, he doesn't know when Eliyahu begins his rounds. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and then you know what? Finally, Vasikin hits. It's morning already. According to all opinions, Eliyahu HaNavi didn't arrive. Comes back to the Rebbe, and he says to the Rebbe, Eliyahu HaNavi didn't arrive. The Rebbe says to him, he didn't? But he stopped at my house beforehand. He told me he was going straight to you. You didn't get a knock on the door from some beggar who looked like this and this? And the fellow says, I did. And so, okay, so he said, I just told him not now, come back in the morning. The Rebbe says, okay, you blew it. That was Eliyahu HaNavi. Had you actually given him the money, you would have gotten your full gilui. Okay, that's anecdote number one. Anecdote number two. This, they say, is a true story. You know what? I would like to believe that the first one was a true story also. But the second one, they say, is a true story. It's a little closer to my mentality. Was that there was a Rav, a Litvish Rav, who kept hearing all kinds of stories about a Rebbe in the area. And after hearing enough, and different Talmidim of his were telling him, you really have to go meet this person. I know you're not into this, but this is a person, Imamish does wonders and all kinds of things. Okay, fine. He decided he's going to go to see this Rebbe. I'll just say in parentheses there, but Victor Miller would relate that one time he wanted to actually go meet the Lubavitcher Rebbe. After all, hearing so many things for so long, he wanted to go meet him. And they told him that they'll make him an appointment for 3 a.m. He said, okay, fine, forget it. But whatever the case is, this person came, he decided, okay, the Rebbe is going to have Kabbalat Kahal, he's going to be seeing people, at the on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Erev Rosh Hashanah after Shacharis. This Rosh Hashiva decided he's gonna come and he's gonna go there. Okay, he comes, there's a huge line, and the Rebbe, this Rav with a couple of his Talmidim gets into the back of the line, and the Rebbe steps out of his chamber, and he's ready to start accepting people. His house is right off the Bais Medrash. He stepped out of his house into his place in the Bais Medrash, and he's ready to start seeing people. And the Rosh Hashiva turns to the Talmidim and he says, "You're right. I'm very impressed. Come, I'm ready to go. That was a very, very moving experience, and I'm ready to go now." He says, "Oh, he didn't even see anything. He didn't even really start yet. He just stepped out. He's ready to start with the line." No, I saw plenty. I'm completely blown over. This is a man of a very, very unique level. I'm ready to go back home. I got the message. This is a lesson to internalize. What do you see?" He said, "I'll tell you what, everybody is standing in line with their kvittel, with the note that they're going to give in, with their name and their request." He said, "I noticed as he stepped out of his home that his wife, did you notice that his wife was there in the background?" "Yeah." He said, "Well, as he stepped out of his home, his wife handed him a kvittel. His wife handed him a note with her name asking for a bracha." He said, "A man whose wife asks him for a bracha, a man whose wife wants him to give his bracha, that is a person of top level. That's a person of top level. And yeah, I'm completely impressed. Any nisim that you're going to show me, I'm not going to hold a candle to that." Okay? That's anecdote number two. Anecdote number three, I think we're spending too much time on anecdotes, so let's start moving ahead. And then maybe we'll get back to anecdote number three. The parasha, I should say the middle of the parasha. Parasha's Kedoshim starts off with Kedoshim to you, ki Kedosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. Hashem wants a holy people. Holy people. What does a holy person look like? So you see in the Sefer HaKuzari that the king of Kuzar is not impressed with the concept of holiness of the Jewish people. He says, "To me, a holy person is an ascetic, a person who lives his life out in the fields, wrapped in some sort of skin, always has his eyes turned upward." And then you see how when the Jewish sage goes back, the Jewish chacham, it's mamish like you see a sense of humor there from 1,000 years ago, how he talks about the person whose eyebrows are perpetually stuck up and his eyes are always rolled heaven-wise, and he barely speaks. And he says, "What's this business of a nation who consider themselves, they pride themselves on their spirituality, and they're busy, they have large families, they're married, which is itself crazy, large families, busy with mundane activities all the time, business and changing diapers and all kinds of things like that. Where's the piety? Where's the piety? Where's the kedusha? Where is the otherworldliness?" So let's look at this week's parsha when the Torah commands us to be kedushim. What's the first mitzvah that we have? The first mitzvah that we have in the context of being a kaddish is ish imay va'aviv tiro. You have to be reverent of your parents. You have to be reverent of your parents. It's a disappointing mitzvah to have as number one on the road of kedushim. It should start with lighting 7 candles on your countertop, tying a red string around your wrist, and of course, turning your eyes upwards. And then you move on to all kinds of other exciting things. Honor your parents. So first of all, Bechlau, we understand that honoring your parents is really a mitzvah that's only nagel up to the age of 12. It's the exception to the rule. When we say in general that mitzvahs come into play at the age of bar mitzvah, we all understand that this is an exception to the rule. Up until the age of 12, it's an issue of do as your parents say. After that, we move into the realm of our parents need to know to respect our boundaries, to respect us, etc. And it's obviously not relevant, certainly not for teenagers, and also once you move on to the later stages of life, it's certainly more about parents respecting us. But the Torah says, honor your parents. And you know what? You know what? Rabbi Avigdor Miller would point out that we have the two luchas. We have the two luchas habris. And in a general way, the first of the two luchas is, hi. And my parents just joined at the right time. So with my mother's rishus. We have the first luach, the first of the two luchas, is what we think of as the mitzvahs of Bein Adam L'Makom. Etc., right? And then you move over to the second of the two luchas, you have etc., like tirtzach. Okay. And then you have the connector is kabedas avicha ve'esimecha. Kabedas avicha ve'esimecha. Honor your parents. And it's actually on the side, it's the fifth. It's on the side of the main Adam Lamokan. And Chazal say that Hashem tells us that if a person honors his parents properly, then ma'ale ani olav kilu darti b'neim v'kibduni. If a person honors his parents who he lives with, then Hashem says, I consider it as though you honored me. And if not, not. But Avigdor Miller said that this really contains the essence of what we're talking about, the essence of our concept of Kedusha. For a person to engage in esoteric activities, to do things that make him feel holy, it can simply be what we call spiritual gratification. Spiritual gratification. It makes him feel good. It makes him feel holy. But is it the real thing? Is it the real thing? A person feels like he has an amazing relationship with Hashem. He has a little bit of a harder time with the people around him, but he has a great relationship with Hashem. So you know what Rabbi Avigdor Miller said? And he said, this is really what Chazal is saying, that how you relate to your parents is the test. You know why your relationship with me is so great, Hashem says? Because when you stub your toe, or when you bang your shin, very irritating, right? You bang your shin. It hurts. So you let out a word according to whatever level you are, from darn and up. But you let out a little word. But you know what? You don't see it as me, and therefore you have no problem with me. I never actually, different inconveniences come your way. You don't see it as me getting in the way. You don't see it as me getting in the way, and therefore you're fine with me. I am there for you to connect with when you feel like it, on your terms. And therefore, yeah, we have a hunky-dory relationship. But once there's somebody in your life who is getting on your nerves, you have a hard time with it, you can't handle it, and especially when it's somebody who you really do owe an awful lot, they say, look, they're just very irritating. So Hashem says, if I was real, you'd be getting irritated at me all the time also. The reason why you have such a good relationship with me is because I'm not really that real in your life. You decide when to tune me in, when to tune me out. You decide what part of your life you attribute to me, what part of your life you don't, and therefore it isn't real. But you know what? On the contrary, I'm going to put parents into your life in order to see, serve as a gauge of what your relationship with me would be like. They are my representatives to you. And if they are getting on your nerves all the time and just too much for you to deal with, then you know what? I would also get on your nerves. If I was real in your life, and if that bang on the knee, if the bang on the shin would be me, you'd be getting awfully irritated with me too. And therefore, your relationship with me, it's not anything real. It's not anything concrete. You know where we can measure your relationship with me? With the real concrete issues in your life. With the real concrete things. And therefore, that's why I put them there. They say, Kedoshim to you. I want you to be on a very high, esoteric level. And you know how I want that to manifest? I want it to manifest in a very concrete way. I want it to manifest with your relationship with your parents. Ish imay vaviv tiro. That's where we're going to be, see the kedusha of who you are. So no, I don't want you to live as a hermit. I don't want you to live out there. I want you to live in a life where the realness of it can be tested. I'm not interested in asceticism per se. I'm interested in real and concrete. And therefore, let's move on to the next level. Let's move on to the other anecdote that he didn't tell yet. This is a story that I heard from my grandmother. My mother will enjoy hearing this now. My grandmother told us about this. Maybe this is a famous story in the Kiruv world. That there was a girl who decided she's looking for spirituality. A Jewish girl from the States who decided she's looking for spirituality. And she made her inquiries and she was made to understand. She just realized after doing research that spirituality exists in the Far East. And so she decided she's going to go out there to look for spirituality. Now some cousin, brother, I don't know who, whatever it is, someone convinced her, go through Israel and give it a try. Give your own religion a try. Give your own people a try before you go out there. All right, she was fair enough. And she said, okay, fine, I'm going to do that. They sent her to one of these meisters, Kiruv meister, or whatever it is, and the first shir that she came to was a halacha shir, and it was a halacha shir on the subject of Hashavas Aveda. And the rabbi, it was not one of the more inspirational classes. This was a halacha shir, and he started talking about the technicalities of when you find a wallet in the street. What constitutes a siman that requires you to try to find the owner? When can you just keep it for yourself? Nitty gritty, back and forth details. She was very, very upset. He said, you sent me to discover Jewish spirituality. This is Jewish spirituality. Forget it, I'm off to India. She went off to India, and there she, India or wherever, Tibet, I don't know. And there she discovered the real thing. There she found everything she was looking for. This was spirituality at its best. Up on high mountaintops, robes, hoods, the works, shaved heads, as holy as it could possibly get. And she got close with some guru. And one time she was walking with this guru, with the spiritual leader in the street. And what do you know? They found the wallet. They found the wallet. And the guru lifted up the wallet. And he gave a very holy smile. He was very elevatedly pleased with the sign. So, and she's looking to see, you know, after all of the very, very high and lofty ideas she's been hearing now, how he's going to deal with this. So he looks at it, and apparently the contents of the wallet were also quite pleasing from a spiritual and physical perspective. And she says, and he starts like ready to walk on. So she says, how are we going to figure out who it belongs to? So he looks at her and he kind of makes a motion with his hand like this. And he says, peace. This is my karma. And she said, but somebody is missing that money. And again, peace. That is his karma. In other words, from a purely spiritual perspective, this was destined to reach my holy hands. Okay? She was quite disillusioned, but all of a sudden it hit her. This was exactly what that cheer back in Israel had been about. And she said, you know what? I am going to give my people spirituality a try. After this disillusionment, she came back. And then I guess she went on to hear the shiurim about Hashem HaSaveh, then also the shiurim about Reb Nachman, etc. She probably got everything she wanted. But whatever the case is, by us, the concept of Kedusha is tested by your on-the-ground performance. What is your level? And if we'll put this story into another perspective, we'll approach it from the position of Ramchal. Ramchal says a statement that it's really something to think about. He says that when he talks about money, when he talks about money in the Midah of Nikius, he says a statement that's a jarring statement. He says, Rabbi Mischasdu ba'anofim rabbi me'anfei ha'chasidus, ulamayla zois lo higyu. He says, people who are working on growing and reaching heights, they'll become great in many areas of chasidus, but excellence in the matter of money is mamish for the top level. Many of the big chasidim, many of the people who become great in all kinds of areas, this is something that's just beyond them. And this is really what differentiates the men from the boys. The people who are chasidim, who are pious in all inyanim of money as well. So in other words, it all comes back to the same point. Hashem says, Kedusha, Kedusha, don't go spiritual on me. Don't do things that are very gratifying and give you a feeling of flying high. I want Kedusha in your kishkes. I want Kedusha in your wallet. I want Kedusha where it's painful. And therefore, yes, it starts with the people closest to you in life. I want a lot of people around you in life. That's how the Torah sets it up. I want a lot of people around you. I want you to have a crowded life with people irritating you from all sides. Right? In Hebrew, they say, you know, about the fellow, they asked him, works much better in Hebrew, we'll translate it into English afterwards. Lama ata kol kach atzbani? So his answer is, ani atzbani, ani lo atzbani, pashut kulam atzbanim oti. In English, the way it goes, not as good, but it says, you know, they ask somebody, why are you so irritable? Is me irritable? I'm a very easygoing guy. It's just that everybody around me is so irritating. So this is what we're saying. This is what we're saying. This is where your Kedusha is tested. Hashem says, you know what? I'm going to surround you with seven potentially very irritating people. You know what? It's all me. It's all me. And this is where I want you to find your Kedusha. This is where I want you to be esoteric and be in a very lofty place. With those seven people are getting into your kishkes the whole time. When you're tested, I want you to be an angelic in business. And then I want you to be tested there. This is where I want you to get your Kedusha. That's my concept of Kedusha. If we'll bring this back to what we're up to now, and really this is a continuation of our discussion of these last few weeks, a continuation of relating to our current situation. The Kedusha that we're going to find, the grade we mentioned last week in terms of great achievements, the Kedusha that we're going to find is going to be now in what we are going to make out of the situation of being in close quarters with the people around us. And you know what? This is where we're going to have to find it. This is where we're going to have to find it. We just got a letter from the principal of our children's school. Now that they're starting to talk about children beginning to go back to school, which is not necessarily a good idea. But we got a letter from our children's menahel to them, which really holds a very, very chashuv point to all of us, saying that if soon we're going to be behind this, let's not miss out on the opportunities of Pam Achas B'tzayis V'Mei Shalei B'tzah. Let's not miss out on the opportunities, on the unique opportunities of doing things now when it's challenging, when it's getting into our kishkes. And this is very, very relevant for what we're talking about here. Spending all day with our children. And realizing that, you know what this is all about, this is Hashem saying, I'm getting very, very close to you now, but I'm going to do it in a trying way. I'm going to get very, very close to you now, but I'm going to do it in a trying way. I'm going to do it through just not being able to get away from the kids all day. I want you to see me there. I want you to see me there. I want you to see in each of these kids a way of connecting to me. And I want you to see in the relationships that you're going to be working on now, that you're going to be building now, that you're going to be investing in, I want you to see that as building binyanim. building very, very great enterprises, like we talked about last week, building your own chesed empire, and in being tested all day, your house is going to be a real Beis HaMikdash, just in the sense that you're going to be slaughtering karbanos all day long, in terms of slaughtering your own yetzer hara, in terms of slaughtering your own instinctive responses. This is where the Kedusha lies. The Kedusha now is going to lie in the craziness at home. We say, Ish imay v'aviv tiroz, what makes it concrete? Our parents are certainly our most immediate representation of Hashem in our lives. But we then take that concept and we apply it to all the people around us in our lives. These are tests of Hashem saying, what would you do if I were to really get a little, become a really, a little bit too close to you and a little bit too tangible in your life? Would you manage with me? Or would it become terribly irritating? That's the question here now. That's the question here now. So again, it's coming back to the same refrain. It's coming back to the same refrain. Let's realize the opportunities that these times provide and utilize them. Where is it heading? We'll see. We have yet to see. But let's take advantage. Let's take advantage. And here I want to end with, this is not exactly related, but it's just a point that should be made with the Bachrim beginning this month. With the Bachrim beginning this month, I started putting this together in a letter, never managed to complete it yet. But last week, Rabbi Yitzchak Berkowitz's letter to the Olam in general was sent around, where he basically made his plea for people not to be resuming the outdoor minyanim at this point. Now, there was one line in that letter that might have gotten lost, but if you picked up on it, you understand that this wasn't the letter that he wrote. It wasn't a line that he wrote in an offhanded way. He wrote that the threat of a worldwide rifyon is more of a threat than any coronavirus. This is something that we have to realize is a fact. It's a fact both in terms of our Bachram's future, but it's also a fact in terms of the understanding that, yes, the Torah extant in our world is a major force in warding off whatever tsaris there are in the world. And therefore, it's actually frightening. The fact that we're in such a situation and the Torah is so suppressed at this point is actually quite frightening. If we're going to take an approach of Oynes Rachmona Patre, so you know what? Let's just decide we don't need to live our lives Bechlal, because Oynes Rachmona Patre. It's not Oynes Rachmona Patre. We're being challenged to push ourselves. And therefore, as parents, we should see it as our responsibility to do everything we can to set up the conditions for our boys to be able to learn as optimally as possible, to motivate them, to encourage them. But at the same time, to realize two things. We come back to the formula of Pam Achas B'Tzar Yesu V'Meir Shalei B'Tzar. I don't think it'll be possible, maybe Mamish V'Yachidei Skula, but for a boy to have his full daily schedule now, doesn't seem possible. And that doesn't necessarily have to be our point of fear. That doesn't necessarily have to be our point of fear. Because we come back to that formula. We come back to that formula of Pam Achas B'Tzar Yesu V'Meir Shalei B'Tzar. We come back to the understanding that this is something that I'm feeling in my own home. If a month ago, my son was finding the thought of sitting at home and learning with Chavusa on the phone, like, it's just not, doesn't work. It's not Megeya. And now he's sitting and learning large chunks at a time in his bedroom on the phone, to whatever extent he can. And it's less hours. But you know what? This is real growth. If Bachram are able to apply themselves in this way, we have to realize that they are building very chashuv kelim. They're building very, very chashuv abilities. They're going to move on later in life and they're not going to be in the luxury of the Beis Medrash all day. This is a very, very valuable time. And with the And therefore, while on the one hand, we have to be worried about it falling apart, on the other hand, we have to be able to very, very much appreciate the value, the much, much greater value of the learning that they're able to do in these conditions. And not just that, but to convey it to them. This is very, very fundamental, that they should be made to understand what a great job they're doing, how much this is building them, how much greater they're becoming as a result. And another thing to stress is that if, on the contrary, if it's in the other direction, that you feel very keenly that your children should be doing a lot more with themselves, and they should be up earlier, and they should be learning more in Fuller's Star, and etc., if you're going to be stressed about it, and it's going to create tension, realize in the first place that then you're exempt, because it's only going to be doing harm. It's going to turn into a situation that the learning becomes associated with tension. Better to say, you know what, this is not my achrayas. At the end of the day, my child has his bechira. We want to be there to motivate. We want to be there to make them feel very big about it. We want to show them how much we value it in different ways. When they sit down to learn with the chavrusa, come in with some treat, come in with some drink. Find different ways of showing your value for it. Show how you're going to cordon off areas in the house that actually you would need. But you want them to have the best areas, the most comfortable areas for their learning. But don't let it turn into an issue of stress or tension. That will just counteract the effect. That will just be counterproductive. Be'ezras Hashem, we should be zeuche, as we keep concluding, to maximize the very, very unique opportunities. Every challenge really should be translated to opportunity. Every nisayon, the word nisayon, Rabbi Victor Miller said, is from the shortage of the word nes, a banner. You have to realize that any nisayon that you face, it's not just a challenge in the negative sense of the word. Life shouldn't be straight, and here and there are bumps in the road. But any challenge that you face, any nisayon that you face, is a potential banner that you can later hold up, hold aloft, and say, this is my claim to fame. This is what I achieved. You hold it high as your banner of pride. This is who I am. To be zeichet, to come away from this tkufa with glorious banners, which would ultimately, Be'ezras Hashem, translate, we should see it as quickly as possible, into that great neis, the son neis l'kabetz kol yiseinu, the great banner bringing in the kibbutz galias and leading up to the gilui hashchina b'meheiro. A good Shabbos to all.
Shabbos, Rabbi. Yashikar.